Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
You and I have been shoveling for hours.
But is it at least a nice shovel? I'll take that as a no.
It's a functional shovel.
Outside of shoveling, how has the week been, Dev? Or has it just been shoveling?
It has been a lot of shoveling and then going to work and then shoveling there too.
So has the snow calmed down at all or no?
Momentarily. In a couple of days, we're getting another 16 inches.
Does it help if we've had none out here?
Fuck you. Take some of this.
Literally the other day, I went to a new boba place to try that out. That's how calm and mild it is here.
I want boba.
Let's go ahead and... It's weird. It's been a calm week, but also a lot has happened in the week. So let's start off with new beat break. It is episode 16, Where I Belong.
Several feet of snow, apparently.
Yeah, that's the funny part, is good and timely, ain't it, Dev?
Yeah, the screenshots posted were very fitting.
So for beat break, do you prefer when the episodes start quick or when they start slow?
I like a little bit of variety depending on
This one we get a quick one, which is good because last time was definitely a slower, more comedic one. Mirror World chasing after a thief with a Moosemon who has safe deposit box. And do you like how the focus of the first couple seconds of the episode is how well they're working together as a team?
They're doing their best.
And then Tactics shows up, Granite and Ludomon jumping in, and Moosemon is down pretty quick, and I just like seeing Ludomon show up. Has he actually spoken yet?
He's just
yet?
A little guy. No, not at all.
That's what I thought, but wasn't sure. And then we get Reyna flipping out Tactics, stealing the bounty again, and then Moosemon's back up and shatters the ground of the Mirror World. Have they told us this could be done?
No, they have not, especially
now,
because...
It helps that they specify...
Moosemon's an armor.
It helps that they specify that it's an actual move of Moosemon's. And then they all fall, it seals back up, and snow. Air's thins high up. It never occurred to me. I understand why people thought this after it came up. A number of people thought this was the digital world.
That would have been cool, but...
I admit the thought never occurred to me because it so quickly just felt like just generic Snow Mountain.
Yeah, there was nothing very digital world about it, and usually they're a little heavy-handed with the random scenery when it comes to the digital world.
And then... Makoto's already putting things together, and Tomuro's tying up the criminal. And then we get the conversation back on the mountain about Moosemon's ability. I like Ludomon signaling just by banging the shields. And then Granite gives us the Worf-ish line of, this would be a good place to die. I don't believe Worf ever said that, but it sounds very much like Worf. And then they head off to find Moosemon. Reyna and Pristimon decline. And then we get to... I always forget the name. What is the name of the actual bar? Do you remember?
I immediately forgot now that you asked.
So we get Tomuro and Gekkomon sadly drinking, which is great animation. In chat, they say it's Garando. Garando.
Oh, okay.
And Tactic shows up looking for information on Moosemon. This is where, you think they're going to, admit they're looking for him, but instead we get, the wildly arrogant comment, they're not looking for Granite because they weren't ordered to, they're looking for the Moosemon. And I can't decide if that's true or not. I don't know if we're supposed to...
I feel like it's true for one of them.
But that's what's interesting, is they don't really give us enough to decide if it's true or not. Weather's affecting Granite. Ludomon, they're not having him speak, and he doesn't even make that many facial expressions, but he emotes very well.
He's just a little guy.
And they find some of the stolen jewelry, and then Moosemon immediately pops out. That was a great little trap.
Yeah.
And then we get an avalanche.
Like, normally the enemies are really stupid and don't bother doing anything.
Now, what's funny is this may be, like, the smartest random Digimon they've battled in Beat Break. I don't believe it talks in the episode.
No, it just makes grunting and moosey noises.
And then Ludomon trying to take care of Granite. Granite telling him, you know, it's okay, you can go off. Then we get flashback to a refugee camp. Granite has a Sapotama trying to avoid the noise. And then someone runs by and gives him gum. And then grabs and run together. This is our introduction to Stella. Good use
of... she's going to die immediately.
Yeah, I saw that coming too. So I'm of two minds of it. One, good use of real world issues. But also, they telegraphed it a bit too much because this is probably the one thing that Beat Break kind of trips on is it uses the very well-worn tropes, for lack of a better term, and then plays them very straight to a T. Here's the thing. If they come back to this, because there's some really interesting things they can possibly come back to this for, then it's good. If it is just, this is Granite's background, and then they don't have to deal with it anymore, then it's bad. Because
it seems kind of like shallow if it's never brought up again.
Yeah. I'm trying to decide in my head, if they bring it back, is Stella actually dead? And you'd normally say absolutely, but then you think back to how many times this plot shows up in media and you find out the other character miraculously survived and they're also now nuts.
I kind of think he would have noticed if, actually.
Well, that's the thing.
If she happened to just get a perfect Digimon time and it cut a hole into the mirror world, sure, maybe. She got vaporized.
I expect she is also, in the chat they're pointing out her Sapotama broke. But, see, here's the thing. They're also saying, no way is she alive. That is always the thing you think with these. And you'd be surprised how many times characters have come back. Like, my favorite one is Mula Flaga. There is no possible way he survived. When they did compilation films, they went back and changed the animation so they could then argue, no, this is how he survived, even though that did not happen in the show. Because the actual way he survived...
Something similar in Code Geass, so for the compilation movies, they're like, we're not actually killing this one.
Yeah. So, don't get wrong. She's dead. I'm just saying in the back of my head... I'm going, I've seen this before. And in chat, they're also saying, yes, it actually does kind of seem like a Gundam plot point. Because this exact thing has been done in Gundam. Like, refugee camp, people running away, one of them gets blown up, the other person becomes a moody character, and then you find out their friend's still alive. So, yeah, I think me and Dev are on the same page here. It's a good start to... Granite. If this is as far as they take him and the origin, then it's a shame they need to do more with it to make it worthwhile. And he wakes up and he's shocked Ludomon's there. And then Reyna breaks into the snowbank and we get him seeing Reyna as Stella.
He's got some PTSD.
See, now that someone actually said Gundam, now I flash back to the girl in Gundam Seed Destiny I think was actually named Stella.
It has been so many years since I've seen it that I don't remember any of their names.
I think it was Stella. It's been a long time since I've seen Destiny. Then
it was really good. I should rewatch it again.
Now, Eyecatch, and the Eyecatch being Reyna is perfect. I admit, I kind of wish the Eyecatch had been Granite. I know they're not getting Eyecatches, because they definitely aren't, but the focus has so been on him.
Don't get Eyecatches.
Depends the show. And they're in a hunting shack. Basically, rest, build a fire, and they go back. I like the criminal declining he has anything to do with Digimon.
I mean, fair. I mean, what are they going to say? Like, hey, we saw you running around stealing shit with a fucking neon blue moose.
Well, that's the thing you have to remember is they know, like, there are... police and stuff specifically to deal with that. They've shown us that before, and the police listen to them. So I just find it funny, like, they with him in the mural, and that just being the, nope, Can't prove a thing. There's no Digimon here. And then cabin gets cold. Pristimon is low on E-Pulse, so can't keep generating fire as Wolvermon. They go and collect firewoods. I like Granite commenting on the fresh wood being worthless because green wood doesn't burn that well. And Reyna saying, it will. And then we see them just gagging on the
Yes,
smoke.
It will burn, yes. But you'll kind of smoke yourself out, which, lo and behold.
Yeah. Then they find flour and Reyna makes bread. Weirdly, so I'm not shocked that Granite is surprised she's sharing it with him. He seems more surprised she's sharing the bread than that she clearly helped save him. Like, am I wrong, or is he more surprised at this than, that she brought him to a cabin, was keeping him warm?
Yeah, I mean, probably he's like, oh, okay, well, usefulness in numbers.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And then he starts chomping. And then we get the flashback to Reyna, her parents vanishing, none of the family taking her in. Then we get a great use of that as a transition to where it's clearly meant to be Reyna flashback. And then it jumps to, at the same time, Kyo telling that to the others. Was left in an orphanage, then Pristimon came to be, moving place to place, trying to find her place. And Kyo comments, you know, her wanting to feel useful, which really jumps well to how she acts in most episodes.
Yeah, she's always trying to be the most functional and useful and helping everyone as much as possible.
And then immediately Tomuro...
Even if they're a dick.
Tomuro and Gekkomon immediately start running off to find her. And then Makoto and Chirapmon. Not Kyo, though. Then Granite drops the bread because he found marks on the floor. And this is another one of those, like, well-worn tropes. The place they're hiding is where everything was hidden.
I mean, it was pretty expected.
It was. It's just like the, oh, they noticed the mark on the floor is the actual marker. It's just... It is the one thing that I think Beat Break really trips over a lot. It's just how often it does, like, the most known version of something.
It's like they have yet to subvert it.
Yeah. And then Moosemon just, like, busts. That was pretty good, I thought. And then Pristimon evolves to Wolvermon to the fight.
Like, Moosemon, you just broke your house.
Yeah. And then I have to say, I love the chase sequence in the snow. Moosemon running after them. Reyna's riding on Wolvermon, and Granite's using Ludomon as a snowboard.
I mean, it actually works really well.
It did. That was great. Then Wolvermon's beating on Moosemon, gets knocked back. Granite reveals that, you know, this is all actually part of trying to manipulate it to use the teleportation so they can get out. Ludomon rushing into guard Wolvermon was great. And then everyone jumps in and they're back to Mirror World. And it's pointed out Moosemon does not really have the energy to open portals like that. So it's kind of done. And Reyna asks for the Sapotam and says it can find a place to belong. Ludomon seems very confused at this. And Granite sort of just starts walking away. And then, God bless the perfect timing, everyone shows up right then.
Okay, we found you at just the right moment that you happened to come back from wherever the fuck you were in Canada.
So here's the thing. I'm actually fine with the right moment. I don't know how I feel about that they had to do it so stereotypical. They actually did, like, the slow motion running towards your friend. That was a bit much for me, to be honest. And then later we find out Granite's mission is actually considered a success because they found the riches. Granite comments he survived again. He doesn't really look happy about it, but that's his normal face. And the ED variation is Reyna, which makes a lot more sense. Because, like, two episodes ago was Makoto, but that wasn't a Makoto-heavy episode, was it? I don't believe it was.
No, it wasn't. It was kind of like everyone all around.
Yeah, so solid episode. Good background on Granite, but I'm waiting to decide if I actually think it's done well to see what they do with it.
It's a good start.
It's a fantastic introduction to him if they do stuff with it. Weirdly, does it feel like the Reyna stuff is still super minimal? Like the actual background?
Saving it for probably the perfect evolution sequence, because usually a lot of the background comes out like before an evolution gets triggered. She started off the series with the evolution.
Yeah. I really do feel like the only big flaw in the episode is the origins may be a bit too stereotypical for both of them. Especially doing them like right in a row like that.
Yeah.
Like they work for the story. I need to see more for both of them to feel like it's done well.
And for its basket vibes.
And I will say for the battle with Moosemon, it's good because that was a really good battle scene. I love the, like we said, the snowboarding sequence. It does remind how many of the sequences are super just based around Geckomon jumping around, which is great animation-wise, but is starting to feel a bit boring.
Like we can't have him just being Spider-Man all the time.
Yeah. For me, a high point of the episode was Ludomon. I like that he doesn't really speak. We only get a few reactions, but he felt very full of depth. I really loved the episode, even though it has some less small issues and more, I hope they aren't issues later.
Yeah, it's like, please don't pull a Ghost Game with this.
Yeah, and then that's where I kind of fall into, well, we'll talk about that in a moment. First, let's go over the cast. So Stella is Fuji Yukio. She had a few bit roles in Hunters. She was Labramon in Survive, and I in New Century.
Yay.
Some of her other roles, she was Masha in Alia, sometimes hides her feelings in Russian. Latifa in Amagi Brilliant Park. Ivory in Eden Zero, Mana in Kitaro Content. Himiko and Komi Can't Communicate. Probably her biggest role is probably Rebecca Rossellini in various Lupin the Third stuff. She was one of the main characters in the fourth TV series. Then she showed up in the fifth. Very good character. I don't know if she showed up in the sixth, though. I have not watched the sixth yet. She's Sailor
Saturn. I definitely have not.
She's Sailor Saturn in the modern Sailor Moon stuff.
Oh, neat.
And Madoka in World Trigger. Then Yuga Sato.
World Trigger just keeps coming up.
Yeah. To be fair, if I see it's a major role, I include it. Yuga Sato was Manabu. I think this was the thief. I don't remember catching his name in the episode.
Me either, but yeah. I just kind of assumed it was him because obviously they did not name the Moosemon.
Yeah, he had various roles in 2020 in Ghost Game, and he was the Fugamon who keeps showing up in Time Stranger with the other ogres.
Neat.
Yeah. So, good episode. But here's where I go, oh no. What? So the preview for Antipathy, episode 17, is good. But when we see what the episode is about, does it not feel like we're about to get another stereotypical character introduction?
It absolutely is.
If it's good as this one, I will be okay with it. I just worry that they're kind of going a bit too stereotypical with stuff time after time. That's my main concern right now.
I'm just delighted to see Burpmon and one of the Bergamons.
Yeah, I will say this. It feels like every time Bergamon shows up, it's an amusing episode, at least. Because we get the episode in Frontier. There's the one in 2020 with the potatoes.
Yes.
So they have a good track record for amusing episodes. So we will see. And then more beat breaks up. So first up, we get volume 2 of the streetwear style products, which they promised to do the other two characters. These ones are Reina, Pristimon, Kyo, and Marasimon. I will say this. Reina looks good. Does Kyo desperately feel like hello, fellow kids?
Yeah, he looks boring as all shit. Come on, you can do better.
He looks like he's trying very hard. And Pristimon actually gets something to do in one of these, wearing a hat.
She's very fashionable.
You know, I just realized, huh, that's weird. I didn't notice this for both of them. I didn't realize it was two pieces of art for the characters. Somehow my brain had just gone, they'd combined the art, but no, it's actually different art.
The very slightly different pose.
No, it's actually different. Like, look at Pristimon. For some reason, I glazed over that when I was looking at this art earlier. Yeah, so these will be out soon enough. They have not put up pre-order information yet. It's weird, I just did not notice that. Then, bunch of updates for the week. Versus image for Rain and Granite. I like it. This one actually teased the episode. We kind of didn't quite get that with the second one, honestly.
Yeah, this one actually, I also like really like the color composition of this one too.
Yeah, especially like, am I wrong? Or not just the color, but like the line detailing seems like really good for some, like Pristimon seems to be detailed far better than normal.
It's really nice, and yeah. I just now realized, oh wait, that's Wicked color scheme.
Then episode 15, Chief Animation Director's Corrections from Akira Asanuma. This is our Glowing Dawn from the last episode. Although I did not realize this, just because, you know, looking at the images, am I wrong? Or is that Reina there twice instead of Makoto? For some reason, like...
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, for some reason, the further shot, I hadn't looked at it large, and I'm like, oh, it's weird. Makoto looks different there. Now that I'm looking at it close, I'm like, oh, wait, that's Reina.
Is indeed Reina, and then Kyo looking really, really creepy.
That is the type of smile that does not work in line art. You need the actual detailing.
Yeah, it only comes out with the shading.
Yeah, then from Naoko Tate, line animation of the Gekkoman battle from episode 15.
I fucking really loved this one. It was just...
I know, it looked really good.
It was so dynamic and stretchy.
Yep. Then we have ratings information from the... end of 2025 and beginning of 2026, Ghost Game, or there, Beat Break was it. The cadence of saying both of those is so much that I have to catch myself constantly wanting to say Ghost Game instead of Beat Break. It ranked in the top 10 for anime programs December 29th through January 4th. It got a 1.1, was tied for 8th. Being in the top 10 is never a bad thing, but you also have to remember a lot of shows were on hiatus that week. In fact, this was the week that we thought Beat Break was going to have a hiatus. Instead, it had one the week before.
So, it took advantage.
Yeah, so never a bad thing to get in the top 10, but it probably is more late teens, early 20s most of the time. Although the rating is not the lowest we've seen from Digimon overall, so it's not just a case of, oh, it's the lowest, blah, blah, blah. Always good to see it there. It would just be nice to see it there when everything is running. Then we get two pages from V-Jump. These are basically just going over 5 stars and tactics. Nothing super exciting. They do show off the streetwear products.
Yeah, but no new artwork.
No, this is the type of thing where it... I'm trying to think, did we already... I'm looking...
I should have already had this like online for like a couple of weeks before this issue came out.
I believe the reason they didn't is, I believe the issue of V-Jump was right before the preview stream. So this stuff would have leaked if they had done it in the last issue. Like, by a day or two. Unfortunately. But all this stuff has been online. This is just the magazine version of it. And that
nice
is
to
it.
Have, though.
That is it for Beat Break News for the time being. And then... the second DLC pack, Gakuran, is out now for Time Stranger.
Is it functioning?
The answer is mostly. Do you know why?
I figured that.
They put out...
The update crashed and burned again?
No, before the update came out, they actually found a glitch that has to do with any of the DLC, which is do not change the vocal language when you're in the DLC. They didn't specify what happens, just please only change the vocal issue in the main game for now. They're working for a fix. They also officially revealed the last Digimon, which is Omegamon Merciful Mode. We also get a preview and a video preview of him.
It was cool.
Time Stranger also gets the DLC previewed in V-Jump. But then as for the DLC itself, I played through it, and I'm not... It's not really not good. It's, like, kind of lazy, to be honest.
I mean, I assumed it would be kind of, like, on par of the first DLC.
So,
I was like, oh, run around.
See,
here's some Digimon.
So you do run around, but, like, the characters don't do much. Parallelmon doesn't... they don't really detail Parallelmon much because they already did that the first time. I must have missed an explanation for this. There's no spoiler because it kind of just happens. At one point, there's a bunch of tiny Parallelmon running around that you just kind of tank through. I don't remember why that happens. My main complaint, though, honestly, is it like, the Bond shows have good personalities. They don't do much. Like, you get, like, two short conversations with most of them, and then a 0.5 conversation, and that's sort of it. Like, it's just, it's not very fulfilling.
It's like, hey, these are mostly here to add to your roster.
That's what it kind of falls to. I think what annoyed me the most, though, remember I talked about how instead of the blue hallways from Cyber Sleuth, you get white hallways here? Now it's
red.
They're red, but that's not the thing. They're red hallways, but they look like it's just a light filter over the white ones. Like, they aren't, like, they don't look like, here, I'm sending you an image that I posted on Discord. Does that look like red hallway, or does it look like white hallway that has a light filter over it?
Light filter over it.
Yeah, it just...
Because everything looks red.
Yeah.
Because look at Merciful Mode there.
Yeah, but not as red as the hallway. It just, it... Meh. And in chat, they're making a Twin Peaks joke. But yeah, I'd hope they would have more story with the Bond shows. I think the main thing issue I have with the DLCs, to be honest, it feels like this would have been neat stuff to get in the middle of the game when there is some time wonkiness and other stuff, instead of it just being, and you go through this elevator and you're kind of in a different place and weird shit's happening. But also, like, it doesn't happen for long enough to feel weird.
The laziest shit.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, if there was more character from the Bond shows, I feel like it would have been good enough, but, like, they don't do enough. Like, 90% of the story here is just running to place A, seeing a Bond show, fight them, and then that's it? Like, it's just not much happening, and that's a shame, because it felt like the characters had personalities and they just didn't show it. Yeah.
Ring.
Yeah, although the weirdest part for me, though, is Hiroko didn't feel nearly as well-written as she did in the original game. She didn't... Yeah, she didn't feel acted as well as either. Like, she was, like, one of the high points of the cast. And very flat here. I don't know what happened.
Maybe just like, hey, we need you to come in for just... Here, these two lines. Okay, yep, go down. Get out.
I guess that's possible, but I don't know. It's a shame. And it'll be soon enough that probably in March, I would guess we'll be having a similar conversation.
Yeah, I do not have much hopes for the third DLC.
I honestly thought it was going to be on par with the first one, which I was not a huge fan of, but I feel like based on what I said about, what would you say? I gave it like a 7, maybe, like a C plus, B minus, somewhere around there.
I feel more like a 65.
This one's, I was hoping to see more with the Bonches. Shame. Moving on from Time Stranger, we get tips column 31, investigation report into the failure to return issue of full dive VR device Alice Pod MK2, and they had misspelled Alice on the site column name originally. I wonder if that is still misspelled. I'm going to go check that now. Do you have any guesses if it's still misspelled, Dev, as I go to check?
I want to say yes.
It is. It says Akis. This is where you should make the ak, ak, ak noise from Mars Attacks. Yeah. So I did not read through this yet.
I perused like two of them, but it was just like, okay, I'll go through the rest of it later. But essentially, shenanigans.
Yeah. Although, does it feel weird that they did like a text column 2 weeks ago, and now we get a text column, but it's as low resolution like paperwork? Like, I understand why they did this, but like, does it feel like they should do that for every paperwork one?
It's kind of annoying.
It does make it a bit harder to read.
Yeah, especially if you're doing it on mobile. It's like, well, I haven't seen anything grody since
I didn't even think about that,
college PDFs.
Didn't even think about that, Dev. And then a stack of recent Terramon Assistant Lab updates. So first up, they put English subtitles on the Digimon Producers Roundtable they did at the end of the year.
Ooh, I will have to go back and watch that one.
Yes. Then, Terramon, in a new episode, Terramon continues speaking with the Digimon producers, and this time they are given a quiz. So the way they decide to do it is each producer has to think of the Digimon they think best fits a theme, and then they discuss it to decide which answer is the best. And whoever gets the best answers most of the time gets meat. So they did that. Then we get an episode which is an interview with the director of Beat Break, asking them various questions. And then they bring in the assistant director so Terrymon can find out how he was included in the ending.
Bribery.
And they heavily point out that Terrymon assistant is in the ending. Then they finish with beloved, we get Terrymon's wishes for the new year, predicting what he would like to do. So, like, he'd like to be in the main part of Beat Break. He wants to interview and talk with overseas fans, wants to do a handshake event.
Yay.
And then they jump to do an illustration quiz. Terrymon assistant gets 20 seconds to draw an important, relevant scene from Time Stranger, and one of the staff members has to guess it. I screen capped the little drawings that they made.
I love these little doodles. They're so fucking terrible. They make me happy.
What I like, though, is them pointing out that, like, a lot of these are huge spoilers, but because they're out of context, it's okay. And also because Terrymon's drawing quality doesn't make it clear, it's okay. So, like, I've played the game, and, like, I know what all these are, and I know which one's my favorite, and I'm not going to point out which one's my favorite because that, like, would give people a bit of a heads up.
Having absolutely no context, because I still have not had time to play the game, even if I had purchased it. I don't know, I kind of like the gold or platinum Numamon.
That is a good one. And moving on.
I also like the Muppet face person afterwards.
That one's good. That one's funny. And then moving on from Terrymon Assistant Labs, it is time for Cardorama. Are you ready for card stuff?
So fucking many.
Okay.
No.
Dinomon looks great. Although, am I weird? Or are they drawing the structure of his face differently in this one?
It feels like the little ridges on his nose are not as prominent, but it could also be
just
the
art style. Yeah, that's true. Then we get Unique Emblem Primal Impact. This uses existing art. Hooray.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Unique Emblem Garden Vortex, also cool, also existing art. This was, I gotta say, this is one where the sample text really hurts because it, like, covers Terrymon in, like, the worst way.
Yeah. Can they just nix the sample text? Or
no.
Please stop.
They're not going to. They started adding sample text on stuff they didn't used to.
Bastards.
And then we get Cool Boy looking very anime manga-esque.
I really like his expression here. Just gives no fucks.
Yep. Queen Beemon. Very nice art. It has a weird cel-shaded quality to it. I like it. It's just kind of trippy, like, when you look at, like, Winner and notice, like, his smile is a different type of line than his chin, which is a different type of line from his shirt. I like it, though. It looks good.
There's a really particular art style that this reminds me of. It's, like, from some kind of gacha game. I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember either, but I know what you mean. And then we get Omekamon, him sleeping in a toy box.
I'm so glad Omekamon is finally getting some love.
Do you see the other Digimon toys? Look at that Metal Gurumon and War Greymon. And then
I would pay money.
I don't know why the parallel card makes me laugh, where we get Omekamon, like, posing, and then Omekamon X is just behind him.
He's so dramatic.
He's trying to be. Tyrannomon and Master Tyrannomon both get very fiery, cartoony-styled images. I really like Tyrannomon. Master Tyrannomon, does it feel like his pose and the angle of the fire don't quite work?
Yeah, it looks like the fireball was added kind of like as an after effect.
Then we get Scottymon, which continues the art ones we saw last time with a bunch of lower level ones. I like this, but man, this is way too busy with the sample text.
Yeah.
We also get a new Tamer card for Suzune. Very manga anime-esque art.
Enough.
I will say, her hair does, like, a weird Code Geass helmet thing. Where, like, the hair is, like, higher on one half.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. Then we get a box topper for Scottymon, which is new art. Honestly, I like this much better than the other Scottimon art.
Yeah, it's a lot more decipherable. It's less busy.
Yeah, and unique emblem Frozen Crown, which existing art, but looks nice. Yamon and Impmon both get some really cool pieces of art. The funny
Such
part
a
is...
a shitty little edgelord. I love him.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, when you look at Yamon and Kimon, like, and you look at, like, they've clearly made a mess with paint, does it desperately feel like they want to be edgelords, but also they're Yamon and Kimon?
Like, they don't have hands yet to be as much of a pain in the ass as they want to be.
Yeah. And then we get a very angry-looking Impmon battling Gilmon. I love the lighting effects from the fire and ice balls.
It's just really fucking cool.
Also cool. Heavy metal Dramon. I'm not sure this is any specific attack of theirs. I like the art, though.
Again, I like the fire and ice kind of effects on the... It kind of matches with the Impmon really well.
Then we get a Ghostmon parallel card, which... it's existing art, but I love the comic theming they give to it.
I want to see a photo of how they do the foil finish.
So I think that one does not have a foil finish. I think it's just gold foil in places, and otherwise the same. Necromon's a special parallel card. That one, they are doing a foil finish, and they do show us how they do it with the comic stylings. I think it looks cool.
I really love these, especially with like the minimal color at the background.
Yeah, it gives a good rainbow effect from the metallic foil. Impmon also gets one of these with Yuki. And then we get Venmon gets one. Is it weird like that they're only doing the season one art? So like in the case of Zenith, it doesn't feel quite right.
I wonder if this means they'll do more parallels later with the updated Tamer art.
Maybe. I don't know. Because it does give the feeling of finality, the way they're going through everything. Then we get Kaguyamon and unique emblem Narrative Rondo. I will say this, the Kaguyamon card with Mirai's really cool looking.
Yeah, especially framed in with like the moon and the sky behind it.
And how if you ignore Mirai, it's kind of symmetrical. Mostly.
Yes.
Then we get Funbeamon showing off him and Winter.
Pretty cool.
Elizamon showing off her and Owen Dreadnought.
I really like the colors on this one in particular.
I think it's because the blue, red, and pink surrounding everything works really well together.
Exactly.
Then we get Medusamon's special parallel card, which appears to be her, Elizamon fantasizing of hers, Medusamon dancing with Owen.
Which is really fucking cool.
Great and really fun card. And also, the preview photos for this one are great.
Also, look at the snakes in her hair. One has a little blush.
Oh, more than one does. A few do. Like, look at the one at the bottom, right above the attack text. Oh, you can't see it on the English one. You gotta look at the Japanese one to see that one.
Okay, yeah, I was looking at the other one.
Okay, yeah, that's why. Then
so fucking cute.
Then we get Tyrannomon, which, another one using the profile art. Have we seen all these emblems yet? I think I forgot about that part. I think some of these we have not seen yet. The actual
visual...
You know
what? I'm not sure.
If we did see them, it was very recently. But I don't think so. Shumon, which... for some reason, this one feels like extra fun. Even though it is the same art once again, but just the framing looks good. And then Sendrilmon, special parallel card. This is so good. You could, like... I think part of it is the text. It makes it a bit easier to see all the images. Like, showing her story.
Yeah. Yeah, like, also the sample text is slightly less egregious than usual.
Yeah. Then Hanimon, with her and Mirai, showing the profile art. Is it weird, or does Mirai feel like her art doesn't quite fit in with Hanimon?
It doesn't. I'm pretty sure it's just because of the its existing artwork, but the way they had to shrink it down.
You think it just kind of like messes up her face a bit?
Yeah, that and like the line weights compared to the artwork on Hanimon.
Okay, that's probably it then. Then we get Sunarizamon, which also shows clothes. Now this one's weird because it has like the same overscaled down, but it feels better, at least to me. Although Sunarizamon
line width isn't as isn't as bad.
Son of Rizamon feels too excited to be in this card, though.
Happy to be here.
Then we also get a parallel card for Heavy Metal Jamon, which will be a box topper. And then Melting Recital. And then a parallel card for Omekamon with him and Cool Boy. Now, I'm 99% sure Cool Boy's emblem we did not see before this.
I do not recognize this at all. Does it even have a name yet?
I don't think we've gotten an emblem card from him yet, so I don't think so.
You know what? I wonder if Unchained will get an emblem card, because they do have that little thing floating behind them all the time.
I don't remember how many cards are left in this set, but we will see. Then in V-Jump, we get a bunch of card pages. So first up, we get a two-page spread for Bushi Set 11, mostly focusing on Shoto and Terramon. And then this was the issue a few months ago. They announced they'd give away an AGO Chumon promo card. So it's in it. We get a page showing off how to use it, a page earlier in the book, you know, mentioning that it was in the bonus stuff that came with the physical issue. This card is being given away as an extra bonus for attending certain events at English card game events. But here it's a magazine promo.
Yep, there are no events anywhere near me, so not getting that.
And the card art is the profile art for AGO Chumon from the game.
Decent enough.
And then, because it wasn't enough, they had announced a special broadcast stream for Thursday. And we have all the details from that. So first up, product releases through next March, basically the next fiscal year. Am I wrong? Okay. Does it feel like the schedule has calmed down a bit?
I feel like once they finish playing catch up for the other regions, they've spaced it out a little more sanely.
Yeah, it definitely does feel better. So basically we get a new booster every 2 or 3 months. A new EX booster every 3 months, and starter decks whenever relevant. So that would be May, December, and March.
Alrighty.
So May is going to be the Beat Break and Savers starters.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and Savers will be properly tagged as Data Squad for the English release.
Yeah.
And they point out that Beat Break is currently being broadcast, and Savers is celebrating its 20th anniversary. And they and at the same time, Dual Revolution is coming out, which is the 25th booster set. And that will have dual cards, which they teased roughly half a year ago. Did I say 25th anniversary? Someone in chat saying 20th.
I thought you said 20th.
Maybe I said 25th accidentally. Either way, 20th anniversary. So the dual cards are a Digimon card and an option card combined. So it has various changes to mechanics, like the Digimon does not cost, but the option card does. It can be used as an option card on its own. There's different color rules for option and Digimon. And there's some interesting positive and negatives. Like, for example, since it has no play cost, if a card effect specifies a play cost, it can't be removed by that card. And then we get a formal reveal of the theme for EX-12, which is Shambhala, and we get an art preview for Satan Gokuamon. That is some good-ass art.
It is badass.
Yeah. Then they show the schedule for the championship based on the four regions, five regions, which is North America, Europe, Oceania, and Latin America for one, Japan, Asia, mainland China, and South Korea. So, and all the, you know, the different tournament setups for each area. And then, my personal favorite part, towards the end, as we're saying goodbye, Chiba makes a hand sign for dual cards, and then it's pointed out it's not official as everyone else starts making it, and they just reiterate that it is not official. I was amused by that. Moving on, outside of cards, they announced some Time Stranger products coming out at the end of February. Nothing super special here, but some solid stuff at Movic and Animate if you want more Time Stranger stuff. Acrylic art panel with key art. Can badges. Now, what's interesting is these are not blind packed, the can badges.
Oh.
So you can just buy the can badge you want. Acrylic stands. As a number of people have pointed out, if you look at these acrylic stands, do you notice a problem, Dev?
They're not actually showing the bases?
No, they showed the bases. That's what that little hexagon thing is.
Oh, I'm looking at the bottom.
The top right is the acrylic stands.
Okay.
Do you notice the issue?
Scaling?
Yes. Now, you can argue that the three of them are close enough. And Ageomon's short, that's fine. Mirai is not that tall.
No, Mirai is itty-bitty and...
Mirai should be, like, in between Ageomon and the humans, I think.
Actually, yeah, because you can tell by just, like, the head size compared to...
Acrylic blocks, stickers, and the die-cut stickers.
Yeah, the die-cut stickers were what I was looking at the bottom then.
Oh, no, those are always popular because those always work really well to put on stuff. Those are the good, nice stickers that people like to put on, laptops, tablets, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And moving on from that, we got more updates from the Hypeland stuff. They showed off a Garurumon tracksuit, a bunch of shirts, and then stuff went up to order today. So before we go into the products, the jacket and both parts of the tracksuit sold out basically instantly. Probably because they didn't plan a lot of stock of them, so they put them back up as pre-orders for shipping in May. Because that's definitely when, like, Dev's nice and cold right now. She wants to order sweatpants for May.
Damn it, I was holding off because my family wants, like, hey, what can we get you for your birthday? And it's like, oh, you can get me maybe this thing that I was looking at. It's
like, gone already. No, you can order it. It'll just show up in May, so you won't be able to use it until next season. Like, if you want...
Yeah, but by then it'll be hot and gross and sticky.
Yeah, but no, I mean you can wait until the next winter season.
Yeah.
And then, I have to say, the shirts and hoodies, like, they're fine if you just want something. The designs are weirdly disappointing, because do they all feel like they came out of, like, 1999?
Yes, they're all boring as shit, and they have most of the good artwork on the back of the shirt. Put it on the front, you fucking cowards.
But also, like, all these fonts feel like they're, like, the Agumon shirt, the black shirt with the orange text. Look at that Agumon text. I swear, those were on shirts in, like, 2000.
That's probably what they were going for, just hitting with now, extra nostalgia.
Now, are you ready for the best part, though? Let's go over prices, Dev, and you can... I may have written the wrong price for those. 1 second.
I browsed through the website earlier, and...
Okay, so the jacket is $198. I feel like that's about what we expected for the jacket. The zip hoodie is $100. That feels about like what we expected, to be honest.
Yeah.
The sweatpants are $92. I have to admit, I thought they were going to make you get the tracksuit together. I did not expect they would let you order the stuff separately.
Same, but also it makes sense because what if you wanted differing sizes in one versus the other?
No, it makes sense. Then the hoodies are $90 each and the shirts are $42 each.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah,
So
here's the thing. I think you can make an argument for if it's a nice shirt for $42, $90 for the hoodie feels no.
Absolutely fucking not.
Especially when, and they have not fixed it yet, multiple of these product names are spelled wrong. So, like, if you look at the Digital Palmon shirt, it's called Digital Palmon shirt. If you look at the Evolution shirt, it is called Palomon. If you look at the Oatmeal shirt, it's called an Izzy shirt. If you look at the hoodie, it's called the Koshiko hoodie.
Like, what the fuck are they smoking?
Especially when, they're weird little mistakes that just suggest no one has looked. But, yeah, I will say this. Definitely not for me. I don't really have an issue.
I would have gotten the Garurumon stuff.
Most of the shirts I don't have an issue with, minus that, like, the style is, like, weirdly out of time, especially the back print ones. It's just, I don't know, like, some of them are neat, but also, like, if you want that nice, like, key art of early Digimon Adventure with all of them on that hill, do you really want the big Hypeland text right there? It's just, I just do not need their fucking logo all over shit. Is part of the issue. It just kind of makes it look tacky. I think, ironically, yeah. I think the place that looks best is the little sigil logo on the jacket. I think looks great. I think it fits in with it perfectly.
Yeah, but the rest of it's overbearing.
Yeah. I'm trying to look and decide which ones don't look overbearing. Oh, that one's weird. Did you look at the one with the character line art?
And since there's the black one with the white line art?
Yeah, and since there's no ninth slot, it's just the Hypland logo?
Yeah. They could have just put a fucking Digivice there.
Okay, you know what I think the best looking shirt is?
Send her to Digivice.
Okay, look at the... It's like a dark... It's like a light cream colored shirt of the Tai Chi and Greymon and Gurumon key art.
I'm unimpressed.
I'm just saying that's the best one, I think. Although, weirdly, is the logo anywhere egregious on the tracksuit that we can see? Like,
No, it is not.
I believe there's a tag down where the Digimon logo is, but that is well done, I think.
Yeah, it's just like a little tiny piece.
Yeah.
A little flap of fabric.
Yeah. Okay, moving on from that. So those are available for anyone who wants them. Then... Poll results for favorite monthly Digimon Social in 2025. The winner is December Mage and Clean. I think that is the one we both wanted to win. I think Dev got cut off for a moment. Dev, can you hear me? One moment while we figure out what happened to Dev. Yeah. So the winner was the Lopmon art and Terrymon sitting there reading his book.
As it deserved to be.
Ah, there you are. Headphones back.
Yep, for some reason the microphone just said, now I'm done.
Yeah, so that one, I believe this is the one we both wanted to win, is that correct?
Yes, that was my vote.
Yeah, August with the Gekkoman barbecue was second, and third was the cool clothing at the beach.
And the Grappleomon one was at the bottom where it belongs.
I think we both said that feels like... We didn't know if it was going to be the bottom, but it felt like it was going to be low because it doesn't really have anything to do with anything. It's just art of Grappleomon, and they just gave a reason for it to work.
And that reason didn't even work.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, if Grappleomon just happens to be your absolute favorite Digimon, but no other reason.
Yeah. And then we get... the weekend potpourri stuff. So first up, reference book updates. Seiden Gokuomon gets two pieces of art. Amaterasumon, Tengumon, and Enmamon. Now, ironically...
They're fucking cool.
I believe we've seen all the art, except I don't think we've seen the second Gokuomon one, I think.
No, we have not. At least not that I recall seeing.
Okay. The other four, though, I believe we've seen the art. When everything was first announced, I think.
At least in sprites.
Then EEO store at one of their locations showed the Beat Break pop-up corner with the New Year's themed outfits. And Toei Animation Museum showed off Beat Break poster and a small display of Beat Break products.
I love little Otodamas.
I know. They're so neat. Ayumi Miyazaki showed off first a recording session for someone. It's an engineer he's known worked with for many years. He liked the song. It was not stated what it was. I keep trying to look at the photo, seeing if I see anything that like identifies anything, but it does not. Then four were from 2026 Strength Japanese Anime Concert Tour in Malaysia. It was a tour with multiple singers. He thought the performances by everyone were really great, and he said it was his first time in Malaysia.
I really like the. The one photo with the...
The tram? The train car?
Yes, with the yellow smoke effects.
Yeah, that one's neat. Do you feel like the smoke effect, in a second or two, when the smoke stops coming, it's almost Agumon-shaped?
Ah, that's kind of cute.
I wonder if that's on... I can't imagine that's on purpose.
Nah.
It feels like
it's just steaming.
Yeah. Then Megumi Hen visited the... Mitsui Outlook Park location of the Digimon New Year 2026 tour with the Otodamas.
Aww.
And she got photos of some of the decorations and everything. Then AR went to the U.S. pop-up store in Arlington Heights and got some photos. Better than the Southern California stop, but underwhelming, I think, was his general opinion. Although they did have the gotcha for the reproduction movie posters. And he did that.
It's neat, but otherwise it's just kind of, again, underwhelming.
Products that you would expect, along with a few big signs that just use that logo.
Oh, it's like, hey, here's some cards and model kits.
And as pointed out
here,
and point out in the chat, the big display cards. Those are actually neat.
Like, if they'd let us buy those, that'd be really cool.
Then we get some behind-the-scenes photos because the Digimon card family are taking part in Grand Tamers Meetup 2026 Winter. So shut off some photos of some of them. And then
I like those playmats they're showing off.
Yeah, one of those was the big fancy one they just did. And then for the card game art, Muchomon being overwhelmed by the number of times that Digimon Liberator appeared near the title screen of the last chapter. I think the funny part was,
I think all of us had that.
Well, I was going to say, did we not actually say this last time?
Yes. It's like, okay, that's enough title drop. That's too busy. There's too much. Stop. Yeah. Stop. You're ruining it.
I like that they actually have Muchomon freaking out about it. It's good. Then January 20th was Tomoro's birthday. So we got some art of him from Digimon TV and Toei US. And then the character designer for Beat Break, Takahiro Kojima, posted art of young Tomoro to celebrate.
Oh, he looks so happy. All of his hopes and dreams are about to die.
Yep. The left art is so shiny.
Yes.
Then we get some art from when the episode went up. Takahiro Kojima put up art of Naito and Gigasmon. And Akimini Aki put art of Raito looking a bit annoyed. I assume he's annoyed because he didn't show up in the episode all that much.
Well, then he also got the shit smacked out of him in the episode before that.
That's true. And that is it for that. So it's time for questions in chat. You guys can throw yours up. Then Diego sent one in. He said, we haven't had a new model kit announcement in a while. He was wondering who we think should get one next. He said they've asked this before, so they're adding a twist, which is what non-anime final villain should get the toy. They can only think of Chronomon, but they aren't sure he'd make a good one. I know the one. Are ready, Dev?
Chronomon Destroy Mode would make a really cool figure, especially if we're talking like Amplified.
I got a good one. Are you ready? Daemon Super Ultimate from V-Tamer. Just good old demon looking all crazy. Yeah, Chronomon...
Let Osmaria design.
See, that's where I think, like... See, I'm thinking of the non-Amplified ones.
Oh, yeah, like the basic set.
Although I will say, for Amplified, I think your Chronomon Destroy Mode would actually work really well for Amplified.
Yeah, because it already looks like a Gundam as it is.
Mm. I'm just thinking, how Gundam-y does he feel to me? But yeah.
I know it's kind of obscure, but I would like to see Crimson Neo. Or Ragnamon.
Those aren't bad choices, though. I'm trying to think, like, is there anyone out there that would work? Nah, I think you named the good ones, to be honest.
Yeah.
Then someone asked, the best way to have tortilla chips, is it with salsa, guacamole, or nacho cheese?
I don't eat tortilla chips, so I'll have to...
So you're saying it's completely up to me, Dev?
Yes. You're the only one that can do this.
I will go with salsa.
Yay.
Okay, question from chat. Which food do you want to turn into a Digimon? See, I want more of the
Boba tea.
See, that's a good one. See, okay, do you imagine it'd be like a Mamemon where it'd be the balls? Or do you imagine it'd be like a cup with fluid inside of it?
I want to say some sort of Digimon or a creature where like the body is see-through and it has like little Mamemons floating around that it can then launch out of a straw at people.
That's even better. I would like something that goes with like the cake theme Digimon from it was Next, right?
Cross Wars.
Oh, Cross Wars manga. I would like to see like do ones that pair with that, like an ice cream one or a pie one that just feels like they match.
Oh, maybe like a sundae one.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Then someone said, since we don't know anything about what it may be, I was wondering what would you like to see from the next Digimon game now that there's been time to sit on Time Stranger?
DLC that is not boring as shit.
So I feel like the issue isn't even boring DLC. I would like them to plan better for flexibility in adding Digimon as the production schedule moves on. Because everything in Digimon in Time Stranger, outside of a few cameos, feels very old in the sense of not new. Like, ignoring like a few visual cameos or so, I think the newest Digimon are the ones from Kizuna, and that is 6 years old at this point. Outside
also
of
new engine, for the love of God.
Yes, that engine's getting ratty at this point. That is.
Remember you doing random experiments with your GPU and various combinations of, and it's still chugging.
So the funny part is like me showing Dev and other people as I'm doing game tests, I'm not sending much in the way of Time Stranger stuff. I'm sending random other tests, and like Dev is seeing like clips and stuff where like I'm running games at max at 240 frames per second just to see if they'll run, and like there's not a stutter to be seen. And then Time Stranger, if I run at 120 and go to an area where there's a few characters, the game just starts to chug. And like, it's not something wrong with my system, it's not a driver issue, the game's just wonky. And that like really explains why they won't go above 30 on the consoles, because
it's just so poorly optimized.
Well, and we've seen a number of people say this. It's not even a stable 30 on the consoles. Like, the engine is having issues. So, yeah. But
take
it
out back like old Yeller.
That would be the solution. Good question from Ron. What Digimon do you think would perform a Super Bowl halftime show?
Dark Superstarmon.
I feel like it has to be Edamon.
Both of them. Both of them at the same time.
That is acceptable. Yeah, it's weird. Almost any of the performer Digimon I could see is a good answer for that one, though, to be honest. Then, next question was, for the big Zelda anniversary year, any game ports or re-releases you want to see?
I'd like a port of Minish Cap.
Is that on the Game Boy Advance that you can do on Switch stuff now?
I'm not sure. I know they did a port to, I believe, the Wii U.
One second, I'm checking, because I think, yeah, that is, that launched on Game Boy Advance on the Switch stuff, February 8th, 2023.
Oh, neat.
But I think that is the,
they need to do a remake of it with the same engine that they did, Link Between Worlds and Echoes of Wisdom.
That would not be a bad idea. I would like to see, I'm trying to think, Skyward Sword got a Switch port. Twilight Princess did not. Wind Waker's on the Switch too, because the GameCube version is. I'm trying to think what other Zelda games are missing.
The Four Swords ones.
You know, I think. It's weird. The Four.
There was Triforce Heroes, but that sucked.
The Four Swords one is missing, but I think I vaguely recall someone saying that it showed up in some sort of data leak. Or, like, some sort of, like, copyright renewal or something that kind of gave the suggestion it might pop back. So we'll see. Look, it's anniversary year. Lots of stuff could show up.
Yeah.
So we will see. Although, I guess Skyward Sword doesn't have a Switch 2 upgrade version, does it?
I don't
take that in 4K. Last question that was sent ahead of time, so last chance for chat. With so many big Digimon anniversaries this year, do you think it is possible fans of all that stuff end up happy? No. Historically, here's how it is going to work. And this is just a guess. It could be completely wrong. Probably Tamers will be the forward one. Ghost Game, we know we're getting anime Blu-ray box. And we will see what we get for Savers and Atmon. Like,
I mean, hopefully they do like a re-release of like a CSA version of the IC, because you know.
See, it just feels like they're gonna go to the DRC and ignore the others. I feel like for Savers, we would get something like the Digimon Color Cross Wars, but a Savers version of it.
I'd be happy with that, actually.
I think the thing that seems mean though is to announce the Ghost Game Blu-ray box set. Because three of the four shows getting anniversaries this year do not have Blu-rays. So announcing
what... Well, I figure with how recent it was been made, the Ghost game would be the easiest.
Well, here's the thing. Cross Wars and Atmon both have HD masters. Like, you wouldn't have to do anything. So, but we will see. I would like everyone to get their Blu-rays.
Especially Cross Wars. Please.
I'd love a Cross Wars Blu-ray box. I'd love an Atmon Blu-ray box too. Please do not use that black shitty paper again. That shit was such a pain in the ass to scan. I think I explained to you once, Dev, how I scanned those to get them to come out well, and it was ludicrous. But yeah.
Is that the one where you downloaded that like limited time fancy filter?
No. That's a filter that I own, but that doesn't work with that. That is where I got the laminating paper, and you put it on the laminating paper but without melting it, because the glue on the laminate acts as like a lens.
Ah.
Yeah, that. But yeah, that was a pain in the ass. But yeah, I would like Atmon to get a Blu-ray box and Cross Wars and Savers. Cross Wars and Atmon are the ones that are easiest to do because those have HD masters. Although I think Savers would upscale nicely, to be honest. So we will see. That is it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Ragnamon, just because I would actually really like a figure of that one.
That's a good choice. Although if you get a figure of that one, would it not? God, that one really needs Gundam box art, doesn't it?
Yes. Look, there's plenty of card art they can already use for it. And as a pre-order bonus or something, you can get like little tiny mini figures of Agumon, Gilmon, and Bearmon.
Oh, that'd be neat. I imagine them at the scale, like the size of the fig arts where that had the Tai Chi Yamato on the shoulders.
Yes.
Okay. I can be found at With the Will as always. Thank you everyone for showing up. We will catch you guys next week, I believe, on Monday again. We have to check weather where Dev is to see if there's a more convenient time for.
Yeah, because might be getting 16 more inches of snow. I might not have power.
Yeah, we may delay based on Dev having power. We may decide to do it a day early if it seems more convenient for her. We are going to do whatever makes sense for Dev here. Thank you everyone for showing up. Catch you later. Bye.
Bye.